Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio on the 28th of June, 2022, and it's a pleasure to have you here, or perhaps you're not here with us today, but you are listening on the archives, and we archive everything over at our main website, which is ace-ed.org, and over there you're seeing everything we're doing, every podcast we've ever had, everything we're doing with social emotional learning, our magazine, our online journal, Equity and Access, is over there. Just click through on the cover. Our awards program, which I think we may be extending the nominations. Okay, we've gotten so many in. We figure if people haven't had it, they may want to still nominate other people as they find out about it, et cetera, for our Excellence in Equity Awards. Okay, and our work on teacher retention with professional development, et cetera, et cetera. Everything's there over at ace-ed.org. Please go over there, check it out, because we work hard to get you all this information, and we're going to get you great information today. Today I've got, and by coincidence, a very old, good, dear friend of mine named Jack Hanrahan on the show. Jack just wrote a book under his real name, John Hanrahan, okay, called Traveling Freedom's Road, A Guide to Exploring Our Civil Rights History. And literally, this is a road atlas, if I may, a travel guide to the entire history of civil rights. All right, and it is a fabulous 500-page book that Jack wrote himself, and I want to say that, well, just, Jack, where do all the proceeds from the profits go? Good morning, Dr. Hanrahan.
Good morning, Larry, and thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for your listeners for their time and attention. Larry, the profits from this book do not go to me. I have been a volunteer at
Legal Aid Justice
Center.
You're a wealthy man, Jack. You're a very wealthy man. You wouldn't even know what to do with the profits. You're like Scrooge McDuck in that money bin, right? You just sit there throwing coins in the air. Okay, so where do the profits go?
They go to the Equal Justice Initiative in Montgomery, Alabama. That's Brian Stevenson's organization.
Yeah.
And also the Legal Aid Justice Center in Charlottesville, where I've been a volunteer for the past 10 years. So two
good
social justice organizations among so many that I could have picked from, but I don't think there'll be that many profits to go around to many more than two. So thank
you
for asking that question.
We're going to see what we can do about that. We're going to see what we can do about that, because I want every social studies teacher, okay, to get a copy of this book. I want every high school, certainly, where kids can drive and where people are thinking about it, to have a copy of this book. Again, Traveling Freedom's Road, John J. Hanrahan, okay, and it's on Amazon, and you can buy it. It's TravelingFreedom'sRoad.com, right, Jack, for the main website?
That's Larry. The website will also have information for buying it from a local bookstore. If your preference is to buy it from a local and support a local bookstore instead of Amazon, but they all generate some profits that will go to those two charities.
And it is absolutely an absolutely beautiful book. And I just want to read a couple of things here from everybody. Such a book is sorely needed, okay? This is from Dr. Terrence Roberts. No, Dr. Terrence Roberts, who was a member of the Little Rock Nine at Central High School down there, okay? This impressive guide belongs on the shelves of historians, teachers, travelers, and any readers interested in taking a meaningful, life-changing trip through civil rights history. That's from Book Life Reviews, which is a division of Publishers Weekly. Okay? Those who journey in history's footsteps will benefit from this book, whether they do it by car or from their armchair. And that's from a senior reviewer at Midwest Book Review. Okay? And I'm very serious about this book, especially in this day and age. This is going to remind us of a hard time in our history that's working out better and better and better every day for people. Okay? Traveling Freedom's Road, what gave you the idea to do this? This is just great.
Well, thank you, Larry, and thanks for bringing up some of those nice comments that came from folks that live this history and are trying to make sure that it's told truthfully. So
Hear, hear. Hear, hear, my
in
friend.
In short, You know, this is a trip that I wanted to take with my wife for a long time, and in 2018, the opportunity to do it came up, and
wow.
I didn't plan on writing a book, but I thought the impact that the trip had on me, plus the complexities involved with planning this trip, you got to remember there's lots of driving to do, distances between places. You need to know when certain got a little frog in my voice there. You
take your
know
time.
When,
take your time. We're firm believers in PETA, so just take your time and save the frog and then get back to us. There we go. Dumb joke.
So
moving on.
You need to know what days certain museums are closed. If you end up in Memphis on Tuesday, you're going to be really disappointed because the National Civil Rights Museum, a must-see on this trip,
wow.
will be closed. And there are other things you can do in Memphis, but that is the major site to visit if you go to Memphis, Tennessee. So the way the trip itself moved me, the challenges of making the trip, I thought, and a book had not been published on this topic in about a dozen years. 2008 was the last book on civil rights travel as I took my trip. So there was a need for the trip. Subsequently, a couple of other books have come out, one from a major travel publisher. They're not donating their monies to nonprofits, and the other from the U.S. Civil Rights Trail, which is mostly a picture book and doesn't get into the detail that my book does.
Yeah,
so that's,
wait a minute, stay on that for a second. Just pick some place, your favorite place, and just talk, and I can go into this because, again, it's 500 pages, it's wonderful, but go into it and talk about the detail you go into and how you went about getting that detail.
So I think a good example would be Philadelphia, Mississippi. Not your Philadelphia, Larry. Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Yep.
In the major travel company's book, Philadelphia, Mississippi is not even included as a place to go. And
really?
Because of, I mean, they talk about the murders of the three civil rights workers that were killed in 1964 during Freedom Summer.
Cheney,
Schwerner, and Goodman. That, but they don't really tell you how to navigate Philadelphia. And I can somewhat understand it because there's no major or minor museum in Philadelphia. And the model of a travel company is to tell you where to stay, where to eat, where to shop, et cetera, et cetera. So my chapter on Philadelphia starts with some background on Freedom Summer 1964. It talks about how both black and white college students went to the Western College for Women in Oxford, Ohio, to be trained to go to Mississippi, help people register for vote, help children learn during the summer. And it was quite a, one other called it a boot camp. It was quite an experience for some of these college students who had lived somewhat privileged lives. In telling the story of the training, I'm able to introduce a gentleman who sadly just passed away in the past year.
Oh.
His name is Bob Moses. Bob Moses was a volunteer and a leader. He's talked about in the Philadelphia chapter in a sidebar, which is my way of bringing the history along with the travel. And Bob Moses was a quiet man, but a very powerful leader and made great sacrifices in his service in the civil rights movement. I bridge into talking about one of those volunteers that went to Oxford, Ohio. His name is Andrew Goodman. And of course, Andrew Goodman was one of the three civil rights workers who were killed by a mob, essentially, with the aid of the police in Philadelphia.
Right.
They were going to
Philadelphia
to investigate an alternative place to hold their Freedom Summer School when the Mount Zion United Methodist Church in the Longdale area near Philadelphia was burned. And in going there to investigate that, they were then picked up by the police, put in jail, and released at about 10:30 at night. Now, and I realize I better wrap up this part of the story, but
no, go ahead.
They were trained, all these Freedom Summer workers were trained not to be driving around at night, but since they were released close to 10:30 in the evening, they didn't have much choice to try to make it back to their base in Meridian.
Yeah, that was no accident, by the way. That was no accident,
right,
that they were
definitely
released
no accident.
10:30 at night. Yeah.
And they were taken and shot. There's a marker near the place where they were shot. There are no markers where they were found in an earthen dam.
That's right.
Many weeks after their murder. There's no marker at the place where their station wagon that they had been driving was found burned out in a swamp. But in the book, I guide readers to these important places. Besides that, and again, I'm focusing just on Philadelphia.
No,
I guide readers to a neighborhood that was really critical in the 60s, the Carver Avenue neighborhood. You won't find anything about Carver Avenue pretty much on any website, let alone in any book. But if you go back and read the history, that is where the SNCC headquarters, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee,
was. Reliving my youth here, my friend. Yeah, all these SNCC and Philadelphia. Wow, keep going. I'm loving this.
And there's actually a relic from the era that when you walk up Carver Avenue, McClellan's Cafe, it was a place in the 60s where people would plan their activism, talk about the day's events, have a cup of coffee. And my wife and I just went in there to say hello, maybe get a cup of coffee. We stayed for an hour and a half talking to the daughter of the McClellans, Beverly McClellan, and her husband, Randy. And I talk about how that's such a unique experience, the kind of person-to-person experience that you should try to seek out in taking this trip. So that's just one thing about Philadelphia and how I try to blend very precise travel information to make sure you get to the places that you want to go to, along with the history of why you're there in the first place.
And, you know, Jack, let me ask you, as you go into a place, and by the way, these days, Mississippi, we go down to the Gulf down there all the time, down to Long Beach. We have good friends who live down there, okay? And I'm curious, and I know the answer to this. You know, things have changed. You're there talking about, and I'm going to use Philadelphia as an example. That was a terrible event. Okay. Yet Philadelphia still exists, and they might have a marker there. What's the attitude of people, both black and white, as you go down there and ask these questions in a place like Philadelphia, Mississippi?
Well, that's a really good and challenging question. I think if I try to summarize it, I think people will recognize that progress has been made, but there's a lot of room for building trust, building community. And resolving the issues that Dr. King talked about up until the day he died, solving issues of social justice and poverty in this country. I mean, you will go to places like Glendora, Mississippi. Glendora, Mississippi is a part of the Emmett Till story in the Mississippi Delta. Glendora is about as poor a place as you will visit in this country. There's a relevance to the gentleman that murdered Emmett Till, had a farm and a business there, and there's a number of memorials that you can go to, including a small interpretive center that is worth going to. If you're really up for it and adventurous, you can crawl through the brush and the snakes to the Black Bayou Bridge, where some believe that Emmett Till's body was thrown into the Tallahatchie River. That's not a historic fact, but some people believe it. I passed on going through the thorns and the snakes, but I know I help people find the place to enter if you really want to go there.
Yeah, and by the way, we're talking, and I just want to make this point. We are talking mostly in Traveling's Freedom Road, and this kind of makes sense. Okay, we're talking basically about Southern travel. Okay, and Jack, you know, I have to ask the question. As you travel through the South, and I've done that for years, I know a lot of Southern people, and you certainly do too. You live in Virginia, okay? There's a lot of talk these days. You know, people are concerned. I'll bring up Governor DeSantis as a good example. Okay, Governor DeSantis, and I can't remember the rule, but they don't want kids to feel embarrassed about things that happened in their particular area. Okay, take Philadelphia, Mississippi as an example, or, you know, in Mississippians in general. And, you know, I want to ask you, to me, it's very important to come face-to-face with these things. These are not pretty pictures, so to speak, okay? But they matter. And tell me why you believe people should make this trip, okay? And it's a trip to some great places, okay, where some bad things, and I want you to talk about this for a second, some really good things happened, okay? And just talk about that, how we deal with this. Some of it's just not pretty, and some of it I'm sure is magnificent. What do you think?
Right, but I definitely agree with the point of view that you have to confront this history. It's not to be ignored. It's not to be made light of. It's not to be told in an inaccurate way. It happened. And this trip, this trip helps you because, one, there are some magnificent museums. I mentioned the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis. Mississippi Civil Rights Museum in Jackson, which only opened a few years ago, just shortly before we got there. It's a phenomenal place, and it is the paramount of truth-telling. They are not trying to sugarcoat anything that happened in Mississippi. It's a very blunt experience. It's also like one of the things that I noticed about that museum the day that we were there is how many elderly black people were visiting and how the designers of the museum made smart accommodations for folks who needed to go through that museum in a wheelchair. You know, there's a lot of smart planning in that museum, and it's true at the facilities in Montgomery. I mean, the Bryan Stevenson's two facilities, the Legacy Museum and the National Memorial for Peace and Justice. Those are must-see places, but there's a lot of historical churches, historical homes, roadside markers, unmarked places, places that are not kept for, not kept up very well. I'll give an example of that. The Holt Street Baptist Church in Montgomery is where Dr. King addressed his community on the first night of the bus boycott. Everybody should listen to his speech.
Wow.
It's available online. I have a link to it in the book. But he talked about right away that they were there for serious business. They were there because it was their democratic right to have access to bus transportation like any other human being. And his words are just beautiful. And but sadly, that particular church is in really bad shape. So is the place where Emmett Till went in and bought some bubble gum or some candy and allegedly did something that upset Carolyn Bryan. And, she told her husband Emmett ended up being kidnapped and murdered. That place is not, it's falling down. I mean, a good wind someday will will cause it to go down. But being at those places and seeing the pristine ones and the ones that are neglected really bring you in a face-to-face confrontation with this history. And I can't, you know, I didn't, like I said, I didn't plan on writing a book. That's actually a line in my first page, which is a terrible way to probably start a book. But it's the truth. I just felt that it was such an important trip, and as I said, a challenging one, complex one to plan out. And that's what I hope the book will help people do and motivate them to do as well. And Larry, if I could, I want to jump on something.
Sure.
While most of this history takes place in the South, I wanted to make an effort to point out places outside of the South where people could learn more and experience some aspects of African American history and civil rights movement history. And so the book, besides dealing in detail with the dozen or so places, cities and towns like Montgomery and Atlanta and Selma and Little Rock and Jackson and so on, besides dealing with those specific places and the states in the South, the 14 states in the South, the book also talks about a limited number of places where you can encounter this history outside of the South. I cover Washington, D.C., of course, which has lots of places, and also 24 of the remaining 36 states, all the way from your state of Maine all the way out
US
to
Maine.
Hawaii.
Yeah. And by the way, Jack, I have to tell you, I was astounded because I've been to Brunswick, Maine, to Bowdoin College, okay? It's a beautiful city, okay, and a beautiful college, I might add, okay, and a fabulous place. I had no conceivable idea that Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin there. I had, where the hell was that when I've been all over Brunswick?
And neither did I. You know, there's so many things that, you know, Dr. Terrence Roberts, the member of the Little Rock Nine, said it so well when he pointed out that there's a lot of things that people will have an aha experience that they didn't know this stuff. If you let the book flow over you.
Yeah, it's really, it just fascinated me. And I always think of the great quote, Abraham Lincoln. You know this, of course, I think. What Abraham Lincoln said to Harriet Beecher Stowe when he met her. You know that? So you're the little lady who started this great war? That's what he said to her.
Right? I know. It's in the book. You haven't got that far in the book, apparently.
Oh, I did. I did. It's in Maine. I couldn't believe it. She wrote it in Maine. How about that?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
I want to ask you something. I don't remember seeing that in the book. I must have it sunk in subconsciously.
Well, let me put it this way. I remember reading that quote, and I thought I put it in the book, so I'm going to quickly...
Let's double check, okay? I'll figure that out, okay? I have a question for you, all right?
Yeah.
The book is terrific. It's beautifully written, Jack. The pictures, everything in it's great. It's a travel guide to civil rights in America. As you think about this, who is it more important to take the trip? Is it more important for white kids or black kids, white people or black people, to take the trip? Or is it equal?
Well, that's Solomon's choice.
There you go. Well, you can do both. We have time.
It is. I mean, this is American history. This is not black history.
By the way,
this is American history.
The biblical reference.
All Americans really need to understand this history. I mean, in the early part of the book, I talk about how there are four major times in American history where people, Americans, when the Revolutionary War, they all weren't Americans yet, but people in this country took a stand in one case to create a country, in another case, the Civil War, to save the country, and the World War II situation where we saved our democracy from fascism overseas. And this movement, the civil rights movement, is the fourth great movement where ordinary men and women, extraordinary men and women, refused to become second-class citizens any longer. and stood up for the rights that they had in the words of the founding documents of this country, and created great change through their actions, their sacrifices, their suffering, and their leadership and just personal motivation.
Have you taken your presentation, if I may, to schools? Have you thought about taking it to schools?
Yes. The short answer is
good.
Yeah. In fact,
good.
I, thanks to your wife, I have a session.
My wife, Carolyn, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, my wife, Carolyn. Yep. Thank you.
I have a session with people in the education field of social studies, and that's in August, early August. And
right.
The presentation I'm developing for that is how this book can be useful in the classroom. You know, that wasn't the main attempt, but when you think of the historical aspects of the book, storytelling that I do of people, particularly women, that most people don't know about, I devote a page or as a sidebar, sometimes two pages, to women like Ruby Dora Smith Robinson, a very young woman, died at age 25, but was a freedom rider, spent 100 days in jail, was an organizer and a leader for SNCC. Mm. And, you know, and frankly, until I wrote the book, I didn't know who Ruby Dora Smith Robinson was.
No, I never heard of her.
You know, and she's, I bring her up in Atlanta because she happens to be buried in Atlanta, but I have a sidebar and a beautiful artist rendering of her in the Atlanta chapter of the book. And, I mean, the sacrifices that women made, I mean, we talked about the Montgomery bus boycott. The there was a college professor, Joanne Robinson, who on the day that Rosa Parks was arrested, which was a Thursday, went into Alabama State University, where I said she worked, at great risk to her career, had a band of people that mimeographed, and you'll have to explain to your listeners sometime what a mimeograph machine is like.
Jack is an old person, ladies and gentlemen. He's probably old. Mimeograph. It's a true senior citizen, the word mimeograph. Well,
I have blue ink still on my fingers from mimeograph machines.
Good.
So Joanne runs off like 5,000 flyers that get passed around at the black churches on the Sunday, telling people there's going to be a, quote, one-day bus boycott in Montgomery. And the word got spread. There was no Facebook in those days, so that mimeograph machine.
Jack?
And
what happened? Good.
There was a call that came in.
Oh,
so
there you go.
I am back.
Thank you.
And she is one of those unsung heroes. People may not know about her. There's a number of women that led lunch counter sit-ins long before the four young men at North Carolina A&T University in Greensboro did in 1960, not taking anything away from their bravery and their courage for taking that stand and lighting a fire across the South for lunch counter sit-in. But there are women who did this in Oklahoma. You know, did you ever hear of Clara Luper? Clara
Nope.
Luper did that in Oklahoma City. She was a youth leader and brought a bunch of her youth council, NAACP youth council members, to a lunch counter and sat in 18 months before those four college students did. And there's a number of other women. I try to bring attention to their bravery. There are women who refused to move out of the seat on a bus before Rosa Parks. Again, Rosa Parks is the one we all know, but there are a number of women who did it before Mrs. Parks did. And so
good
a lot
for you
of
for bringing all that
people,
up. Good for you.
Yeah. So
I'm telling you, and you know, that's the joyous part of this book. Is, you know, and there's the history of it is hard, but it's important we confront this. All right, and you know, then you find out these, I hate to say it like this, these anecdotal people, okay, who were so important, okay, literally thousands of them, okay. You really did a good job researching this. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And by the way, I have to say, I've never been there. I've only been to Alabama once in my life. Okay, the story of the Tuskegee Airmen. I just love that page, that stuff, you know, just unbelievable. The Red Tails. You know, there's a movie called Red Tails. Did you ever see it, Jack?
I don't think I've seen it.
Good flick.
Good flick. Yeah, that's an oldie, though, isn't it?
No. Red Tails I guess it depends how old you are. It's about probably 8 or 9 years old, maybe less.
Hmm.
Yeah, good flick. Everybody,
yeah.
I recommend that one. It's the story of the Tuskegee Airmen. Okay,
but
it's a regular dramatic movie.
To Montgomery, which is one of those musty places, in my opinion. You are 30 minutes outside of Tuskegee, and the Airmen Museum, the George Washington Carver Institute, National Park Service, and a few other places. There's a small museum that deals with the National Syphilis Study and issues related to that incident in the 40s.
Yeah, like black people not wanting to get vaccinations during the pandemic, okay?
Right.
Because they were used for experimentation by the government with the syphilis study. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The legacy of all this is unbelievable.
Oh, yes. There's just so much. I mean, I think you know, may remember that I like two things pretty strongly, and one is music and the other is certain sports anyway. And
Which ones?
Well, I'm not a huge fan of hockey anymore, but basketball. I'll use basketball as an example.
Okay, good.
Some of your listeners may remember that there was a NCAA tournament game in 1963 between Mississippi State and Loyola University of Chicago. And the starting five of Loyola had four African-American players. And the state of Mississippi, they were not going to let their players leave to go play that game against an integrated team. And the story is in the book of how the coach outsmarted the governor, the coach of Mississippi State outsmarted the governor. The game was played. There was an historic handshake between the two captains at midfield, Jerry Harkness, the black captain of Loyola, and, Joe Don Bell? I'm blanking on his last name. Mississippi State, and that picture, I have a very grainy shot because, all the better ones were at a significant license fee, so I wasn't paying high license fees for my photos that are in the book. The book has 150 plus images. It's very beautifully laid out by a local woman here. If there is time, I'd love to tell a quick story that is uplifting.
You got 2 minutes.
They came
two
out
minutes.
Of a very
and
ugly.
The, wait a minute. 2 minutes, and by the way, the quote about the little lady who started this great war is in the book on page 455. I skipped that paragraph because I was so interested in why the hell there were no tours of the house. Okay, you're not going to believe this. So it's right here. I'm looking right at it. Okay, so anyway,
yes.
Go ahead. You got 2 minutes. Shoot, go.
Okay, so I think people will know Sam Cooke by some of his hits like Cupid,
Whiskey,
You Send Me,
tonight.
You know, not the most serious of tunes. And he was a little jealous how Bob Dylan, who wrote Blowin' in the Wind, was getting a lot of play in civil rights venues. And and his troop had just
Born
finished.
Born by the River? Are you going on Born by the River now?
Yeah. Change is going to come.
Yeah, change
right.
is going to come. Yeah.
And that song is the result of an incident that happened at a Holiday Inn in Shreveport where they all, his troop, had reservations that they made over the phone. But when they showed up,
Smart
the
yeah.
desk attendant would not let them. And that spawned a hit that was only sung in public once by Sam, by Mr. Cook. And has now risen to be the third on the all-time greatest songs per Rolling Stone. And, of course, it was used at lots of celebrations during Barack Obama's first inauguration.
Absolutely. And, by the way, I want you to know you can call Sam Cooke Sam. He is not going to complain. Okay? And he was great. He was – oh, man, he was the smoothest. He was unbelievable. All right,
yeah.
We got to go, my friend. This is great. That's Jack Hanrahan, everybody. Traveling Freedom's Road, a guide to exploring our civil rights history. And, man, you did a great job, Jack. Mazel tov.
Larry, thank you so much for having me. Right. Thank you to the listeners. If they want any more, if they go to travelingfreedomsroad.com, you get more about the contents. There's a free chapter offer on the Philadelphia chapter that I talked about. If you send me that a note, I'll send you that chapter.
You are the best. Thank you, my friend. You take care.
Thank you, Larry.
We'll
have a good one.
Put this up in the archives. They'll be listening for months. Thanks, Jack.
Okay.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks.
Love to listen. Bye.
Same to
Oh, cut him off by accident. He said, love to Carolyn. All right. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. The book is Traveling Freedom's Road, and you can learn more at travelingfreedomsroad.com. And I hope every school library gets it. Okay, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.